Okay, people should, in the month of Ramadan, should offer the nawafil of Ramadan, you know, because there are 1,000 rakats of prayer which can be, which are in both Shia and Sunni branches of faith.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that, okay, people should offer those prayers in Jama'ah because there is more sawab and so on and so forth. But, you know, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam at that time was strictly opposed to it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's why we see that such an innovation, such a bid'ah should not occur in our religion, and we should not offer the mustahab prayers in Jama'ah.
I see. Okay. How is it possible for a person in the wilderness to determine the direction of the Qibla? You know, for one thing, for example, one solution that can come to my mind is to, like, offer your prayer in four directions.
Yeah.
For your prayer to be at least valid or accepted. But is it okay to do so, or no? There is a technique or a strategy that you recommend.
Well, if you are certain, okay, that the Qibla is in a specific direction,
yes,
okay, either it's on towards the east or west or north or south, then you will have to follow your certainty. You have to act according to what you believe to be the direction of
you
Qibla.
You mean your gut feeling that,
yeah,
for example, that's the Qibla is this way.
Yeah. If there's no other way, if you can't find the direction, you can ask other people, or you can look at the graves of Muslims, or you can go to, for example, if there is a mosque, but you talked about a person being in an open area that where he does not have access to a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
But let's assume that someone is in the city and there is a mosque. He can go to the mosque and see the mihrab or the altar of the mosque where and the direction to which the altar is, you know. The mihrab is, so he can easily find the direction. He can also look at the graves of Muslims,
mm-hmm.
because Muslims are supposed to be to be buried in the direction of Qibla, with their mm-hmm. heads on the right,
yes,
and their left towards the side, and the belly is towards the direction of mm-hmm. Qibla, one spirit. So if these are not possible, if none of these ways are possible through which one can determine the direction of Qibla, then of course one has to follow his guess, you know, his conjecture, whatever you call. If you, for example, feel, if you have a strong feeling, let's say you think that it's very much likely that a certain direction is the direction of Qibla,
mm-hmm.
then you can follow, you can pray, offer your prayers in that direction.
Yes.
But if there's no such feeling and you don't think that any direction is very much possible or very much likely to be the direction of Qibla, then it is the last method
mm-hmm.
to follow and to make sure that you have offered your prayer in that direction of Qibla is to offer your prayers in four directions.
Mm-hmm.
Four directions.
I see.
Yes. Four directions means that, okay, one direction at least will be towards the Qibla.
I see.
So that's the last, yes, method.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program about the prayer rules. Stay with us.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about Ayatollah Khamenei's Islamic Laws on prayer and the rules about prayer. And I wanted to ask you, Sheikh, about the deviation from the Qibla. You know, those days when we were like in schools, back in those days, we learned a few tricks. In mm-hmm. fact, if you are like far away from a city, like in a forest or somewhere, like in the desert, mm-hmm. You'll be able to somehow find out your way or yeah. navigate. Sure. Basically, if you find the north, like if it is the night, then through the northern star, you'll be able to find out, at least in the northern hemisphere, mm-hmm. You can determine which way or which direction is the north. So yes. by determining the north, you'll be able to find out the south.
So
it's the opposite
sure.
direction, right? Mm-hmm. So across from the north is the south. And then 30 degrees from, like deviated from the south, that would be the Qibla direction.
Okay.
So that would be one of the easiest ways, in fact, to find out where the Qibla is or
yes.
directed at. All right? So there were a few tricks learned back then in the school or from the school subjects that we used to learn.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you about this. If none of these ways are possible, then how many degrees of deviation from the Qibla, in fact, are exempted or ignored in order for a valid prayer?
Yeah, you're right. Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that, okay, if you find out after praying, mm-hmm. after praying, not before praying, of course, that you have offered, that you have deviated from the Qibla at least 90 degrees, okay? 90 degrees. 90 degrees deviation is exempted, and you don't need to repeat your prayer.
Yes.
Need 90 degrees. Well, obviously, after you offer your prayers and you realize that you have deviated from the Qibla
mm-hmm.
and 90 degrees. But if you are offering your prayers and you find yourself that you have find in while offering your prayer and you realize that you are not offering your prayer in the direction of Qibla, you are to some degree you are deviated from the right direction.
10-20 degrees, for example.
Offer 10 degrees. You're right. So in that case, again, you need to adjust yourself,
mm-hmm.
position yourself in the right direction, and of course. Less than 10 degrees, of course, even if it is deliberate to some extent, if you are not, caring about that, that kind of deviation,
yes.
it will not affect your prayer. But if it's more than 10,
mm-hmm.
then it shouldn't be a kind of negligence on your part. You should
mm-hmm.
not deviate from that, from the direction of Qibla intentionally and deliberately, knowing that that's not the direction of Qibla, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So,
what should they do?
Yeah, if while
should they break their prayer?
No. You shouldn't. You should adjust yourself.
Uh-huh.
You, while praying, you should just.
No. I'm talking about after the more than 10 degrees.
If after prayer you find out that you have deviated from the Qibla again, your prayer is valid. Is valid.
Okay.
I said that
during prayer?
90 degrees. If during prayers, of course, you have to adjust yourself.
Uh-huh.
Adjust yourself. That is the main. But if it's more than 90 degrees, of course, you have to repeat your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You have to repeat the prayer.
And while praying, you have to stop it then.
And while praying, you have to stop it because you have to turn all the way,
Mm-hmm.
You have to position yourself, change your position.
Too difficult,
yeah.
More than 90 degrees.
So, yeah, it is. It's kind of, completely rotating. And you should stop and pray. Your prayers in the right direction.
Okay. Since we have, again, 1 minute to the end of the program, let me ask you or squeeze in another question here in our program. One of the conditions of prayer, as we all know, as all Muslims know, is to cover oneself during the prayer, right?
Yes.
So does it mean one should cover themselves, in fact, only when there are strangers around, or no? If there aren't any people, then it is not obligatory to cover yourself.
Well, there are many people who are under the impression that you needn't cover yourself when there are no non-mahram people seeing
yes.
you, okay? For example, if you are in a bathroom or you are in a room there with no one, with
mm-hmm.
no mahram or non-mahram relative,
yes.
you shouldn't cover yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's not correct, while praying, you need to cover yourself, man or woman, okay? And of course, for men, the dress code is
different.
Is different, of
yes.
course. And the men should cover their private parts. Women should cover all parts of their body except their faces and hands to the wrist and their feet. Okay, feet are not supposed to be covered while praying by a woman. But if there are non-mahram men around, and if she may be seen by non-mahram men, then it is necessary for the woman to cover her feet and legs as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Thank you all for listening to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
News, scientific news, artistic news, with delight.
Chinese astronauts on board the space station have held a unique conference with students, sending them a message that sky is the limit. They hope to inspire students to pursue their dreams and be proactive about their goals. Let's have a listen.
Every one of us went through rigorous selection and arduous training before carrying out space missions. Many people have to wait for several years, dozens of years, and even a whole life. But what deserves praise is that we have never given up, but remain true to our original aspiration, stood the loneliness, and passed the tests.
Ye, who is a first-time space traveler, also encouraged students to be brave in following their dreams. The Chinese astronauts talked about their life, work, and personal experiences. Students from Beijing, Hong Kong, and Macau were given the rare chance to ask their own questions during the Ground Space Conference. China launched Shenzhou 13 into space in October last year. The astronauts are scheduled to stay in orbit for 6 months, which will be the country's longest ever crewed mission.
Shanghai is one of the most famous cities in the world, boasting an impressive number of tourist attractions. Now, the city is host to a new event that could draw excited visitors. The exhibition includes more than 100 items from Egypt, including 6 golden mummies. The most prized object on display is a 20-year-old female mummy with a gold mask and 2 jewels for eyes. Organizers have also put up for show original works by great European artists such as Raphael and Pablo Picasso. A zoo in the Netherlands is celebrating the birth of a newborn manatee, a rare event among the endangered species, especially within the confines of captivity. The newcomer was born in a Royal Burger Zoo in a Dutch city of Arnhem. Zookeepers say the birth went smoothly, adding that this is the mother's second calf. The newborn is still too young for keepers to be able to determine its gender, but handlers hope it will be a female. That's because there are only 15 females in European zoos. Manatees are closely related to elephants and are sometimes called sea cows because of their herbivorous diet. These gentle giants are listed as vulnerable to extinction, mainly because of loss of habitat and collisions with boats.
mobile public library is back in the Afghan capital, Kabul, to bring joy to children with exciting books and games. The library reaches hundreds of children on a daily basis, seeking to expand its coverage in the coming days. Rahmatullah Baghban has more.
As the sun rises in Kabul, the Charmagh's mobile library starts a fresh mission to delight children. The library goes from zone to zone in the capital, Kabul, to spread the joy and love of reading among the Afghan children. It operates in 5 buses and has a children-friendly space. The organizers say they are happy being back for Afghan children.
We want to enhance reading among children and boost their creative thinking. We have 5 mobile libraries operating across Kabul. Our services were shut for 3 months due to government change, but now we're happy that once again they can reach Kabul children. The library was sponsored by Afghan traders, but now it's out of funds and needs economic support.
I love my job here as a librarian. It's free for all. Children from different backgrounds come here to read books and play games. What I love most is watching children smiling and having fun with each other. I'm proud I can serve them with the skill I have.
Children are highly excited as they find the library right in front of their houses. Hundreds of children make daily use of initiative as most schools in Kabul lack library.
The mobile library used to come to our alley every week, but over the past 3 months, it didn't come, and we missed it so much. We are very happy that it is bringing us joy again. Nowadays that our schools are closed, we can make use of its books.
We thank Charmagh for its services. We have learned to read stories, play games, and draw pictures. We have kind teachers and have a good time with our friends.
This creative reading campaign starts as the country faced many challenges, affecting children's schooling and taking reading opportunities from them.
As schools remain closed for most Afghan children, such services can be a good haven for students and book lovers. The initiative can also encourage children and bring the reading to life. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
People in the northeastern Chinese province are trying to keep alive a winter tradition going back centuries. Each year, local fishermen and women in Jilin use an ancient technique to catch fish from Chagan Lake that is sealed with a thick layer of ice. What these locals do is they drill holes through the ice and put their nets under the holes to catch fish. But to pull out those nets from the lake, they will need help from a bunch of horses.
It was my first time seeing such a scene. 5 horses drawing a turntable to gradually pull the net up to the ice surface. I felt very novel to witness this.
The technique has been listed as a cultural heritage in China. The ceremony attracts a large number of local tourists during the fishing season, which lasts until the end of February. Albino animals are rare and very vulnerable, so when you find one, you need to make sure they get all the care they need to survive. And now, Colombian vets are doing all they can to help the very first case of an albino baby, Jaguarundi, that's been rescued there. Fire department volunteers rescued this female cub in the urban areas of the Abora Valley region. The vets are now giving it primary medical attention. The baby Jaguarundi will then be transferred to a conservation park in the city of Medellin for more protection. A local expert explains why they cannot put back the animal into the wild.
At this point, this animal cannot be released to the wild due to its albino condition. It is predisposed to certain health disorders, certain disadvantages when performing in the wild. Therefore, the only alternative for it is to end his life in a park such as this.
Albino animals face many difficulties in the wild and struggle with basic survival skills. They do not have good eyesight, and due to their lack of pigmentation, they cannot camouflage. Therefore, just like endangered species, human monitoring would increase their chances of survival.
Swimming in sub-zero temperatures can be unimaginable for most people, but not for a group of athletes who've tested their skills and strength in Prague's Vltava River. 360 people from 8 countries gathered in the Czech Republic, in the Czech capital, to participate in an annual winter swimming event. The air temperature was minus 6 degrees Celsius, with water temperatures dipping to as low as 3 degrees. The event honors Alfred Nikodem, a Czech swimmer who braved the frigid waters in Prague for the first time in 1923, starting a tradition that has been kept alive ever since.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Now, the world's most powerful observatory is finally on its million-kilometer journey after several technical delays. The NASA telescope named James Webb blasted off into orbit on Saturday, heading to an outpost that's 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth. The observatory was in the making for some 3 decades and cost about $10 billion. It left Earth enclosed in a rocket and from a launch pad in South America. The journey will last a month. The telescope is the size of a tennis court. And if everything goes according to plan, it will enter service in June. Astronomers are hoping they can learn more about the origins of the universe once it starts beaming back new clues. The school in Spain is offering students an opportunity to join a special orchestra. The project, dubbed The Music of Recycling, brings unwanted junk back to life by transforming them into musical instruments. And here is how they sound. The project offers the instruments to the orchestra in one of Madrid's most disadvantaged neighborhoods. The students say the orchestra keeps them away from mischief and out of serious trouble while giving them an artistic outlet. Several dozens of children are taking music classes from members of the orchestra as part of the project. The ensemble has put on several concerts across Spain, but because of the pandemic, they had to pause their performances. The project is run by a Spanish environmental group and is inspired by a similar orchestra in Paraguay. To most people, an eggshell is something that gets tossed in the garbage, but to one Chinese artist, the delicate eggshell is the chosen canvas to express art and create mini masterpieces. Zhu is a talented craftsman who has created a series of unique egg sculptures with the theme of Beijing's Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games. Icons of ice and snow sports, as well as etchings of the 2022 Olympic mascots, are showcased in this series. The thin and delicate texture of the shells adds to the difficulty of the craft, which creates a sense of fragile beauty. Zhu says his fascination with eggshell art started when he was very young.
The Christmas season is when people around the world left out a dose of joy in the form of Santas. But it's different in central Thailand on this Christmas Eve. Thai children were ecstatic to see Santa Claus distributing presents, but this time in the shape of elephants. Dressed in Santa costumes, 5 elephants carried dolls, face masks, and sanitizers for students. They were surrounded by many human Santa Clauses as well. But students cheered with joy while reaching out for presents from the jumbos. Event managers say their goal was to encourage students to stay vigilant during the pandemic. Plus, they wanted to give the children some fun to look forward after months of virtual classes. The event is a yearly highlight for a school that caters to students from kindergarten to secondary level.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg, an embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yinliang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Feeding in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: ضع فخرك واحطط كبرك واذكر قبرك.
Imam Ali alayhi salam stated, "Put off boasting, give up self-conceit, and remember your grave."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us on the program. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs to my brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam. As we have seen, dear friends, Imam Ali's persona is truly a universal persona. It is a persona that anybody and everybody can learn from. And when we go back 1,000+ years, we see that Imam Ali is an integral and critical player in the historical events. But likewise, we see that his persona was integral in the sense that he taught so many things to so many people. Even well over 1,000 years into the future, we see that the sayings and the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is one that one can learn so very much from. In one instance, we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Ignore your friend's mistake so that if the enemy ever attacks you and you are in need of his support, he will defend you." So very interestingly, sometimes, you know, in our relationships, in our life, either we are friends with somebody where they are our absolute best friend, no question about it. Or on the other hand, if we are enemies with somebody, we are enemies that is just beyond reparation. Here we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam is teaching us the middle path, is neither be so severe in your enmity that your enemy won't come to you as a friend one day if they change their course, but on the other hand, don't be a friend to an extent where your friend might one day become your enemy. And here Imam Ali says, you know, in the friends and the friendships that we have in our lives, it's okay to ignore the mistakes of our friends, so that if a common enemy does attack you, that friend of yours will be willing to defend you. You know, sometimes we are so harsh with our friends, we are so difficult on them, we criticize them for everything. And in this instance, we criticize them for their mistakes, or we ridicule them because of their mistakes. And what that does is that really destroys the friendship. And here again, Imam Ali is saying that we should ignore our friends' mistakes, or we should be at least a little bit soft in explaining and giving positive criticism to our friends if we do want to reform them, so that if we are ever in need of their support, they will truly support us and defend us. Beautiful words and a profound lesson indeed, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib this means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إني أسألك الأمان يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم.
O Allah, I ask you for the protection on the day when property will not avail, nor sons except he who comes with a heart free from evil.
وأسألك الأمان يوم يعض الظالم على يدي يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا.
And I ask you for protection on the day when the unjust one will bite his hands, saying, Oh, would that I had taken away with the messenger.
Now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
How does the status of Mahbubiyyat, to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how did Ali reach to that point? Because in the path of spirituality, the most important thing is total submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Total and absolute submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam, what is Islam? The word Islam itself means to submit. And when a person reaches to the total submission, that is when he becomes the mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at our namaz, you know, we should not just look at the ritual part of it. We should try to understand the spiritual dimension of namaz. The namaz itself, the way it has come to us, shows to us different levels of submission. We start the namaz with qiyam. We stand up. And then we go to the second stage, where we bend over with our hands on the knees. And then finally we go to the sajda. Qiyam is where we are standing up now to prepare ourselves, to submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ruku is half submission. And then we go into total expression of humility and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you pay attention even to the words selected for ruku and sajda, they are different. Because there are two different levels of submission. One is half and one is complete. In both zikr of ruku and sujood, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The praise is same, but the wordings are different. In ruku, what do we say? Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. In sajda, we say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Al-Azim means the great. In Arabic, and our friends and colleagues are here, Al-Azim is great. This is not the superlative form of that noun or adjective. Al-A'zam would mean the most great or the greatest. Like Akbar, A'zam, A'lam. Among the mujtahideen we say we should look for A'lam, the most learned. If we just say Alim or Alim, the learned. We do not say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I praise my Lord the most great. We just say Al-Azim. But when we go to sajda, we don't say Subhana Rabbi Al-A'ali. We use now the superlative form of the word. We say Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la. Because when I was in ruku, this was just half submission. Now that I go to sajda, this is the expression of my total submission and humility to you. And therefore now I use this superlative term to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not as al-ali, but al-a'la, the most high and the most noble.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked as
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Please stay tuned. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam never overtook Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam when walking with him. This was because of the respect that the younger brother had towards his older one, although Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam was not very much older than his younger brother, Imam al-Husayn. Even when Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam was talking, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam kept silent because of the respect that he had for his older brother and his imam. This is the true manifestation of politeness and favor.
Peygamber akram nishaste, inu khub goosh bedid.
Once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was giving a sermon in the mosque when a blind man entered the mosque and, without knowing that the Prophet was talking, asked him to give some pieces of advice. A person who was sitting close to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam got upset and turned his face away from the blind man because of his disrespect towards the Prophet. Now, the old man couldn't even see his anger of turning his look away from himself. This was the time when a surah with 10 ayahs was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, condemning this action of the angry man. This surah is called Abbas, starting with the ayah, "He frowned and turned away."
Thank you.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of the Charter of Islamic Governance based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are presently discussing the 16th sermon of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. And in this sermon, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he comes and gives out his important, or you can say the maiden speech after taking over the leadership, the main and important speech, the first lecture that a leader gives after taking over or after becoming the leader, which is one of the most important lectures and speeches in the political arena. We know that the first lecture that a leader gives carries very much weight. And as you know, in history, and even today we see in the world, that normally people, the political leaders of the world, unfortunately, in that opening speech, in that important leadership speech, they normally lie. Unfortunately, they promise false promises that they break. And they just are so pleased with themselves for having achieved the position of leadership that they are ready to speak whatever rubbish that comes out from their mouths just to please the people and to please the societies. Unfortunately, this is an unfortunate reality that all of you can witness today. But Imam Ali alayhi salam was completely different, and that difference will be seen in this sermon.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he begins the lecture, this first lecture after being You know, the sermon starts like this. It says, وَمِنْ كَلَامٍ لَهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ لَمَّا مُوِيعَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. And this is a sermon of Imam Ali alayhi salam when he was given, you can say, the oath of allegiance by the people, when people pledged allegiance to him. Now you can imagine here, Imam Ali alayhi salam is standing, people have pledged allegiance, everyone is, you know, shouting out slogans saying, oh our leader, oh our master, you are now the leader. And there Imam Ali alayhi salam is standing, and you can see that he is completely, you know, mesmerized in the love of God, and he doesn't care at all about what these people are thinking about him. What is important is the duty that he has in front of God. And as he starts the lecture, he says some very heavy words. He starts like this: ذِمَّتِي بِمَا أَقُولُ رَهِينَةً وَأَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٌ. He says that now my responsibility, my shoulder has a heavy responsibility because of what I'm saying. Because of these words that I'm going to say, they are going to engage my whole existence with a heavy responsibility. Look at the beauty and the power in this man's words. He doesn't come and, just clap his hands and just, become happy. And, he is now talking about an important thing that is going to happen. There is something that has happened and that is going to engage his responsibility. He is concerned about the words that he's going to speak now. And this is the concern that every person who has a little bit of leadership in the society has to have. That every word that they speak is going to apply a responsibility on their shoulders. وَأَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٌ. And he says that I am answerable to these words. I am answerable to this responsibility that I have been given on my shoulders. And then he says, إِنَّ مَنْ صَرَّحَتْ لَهُ الْعِبَرُ عَمَّا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَثُلَاتِ حَجَزَتْهُ التَّقْوَى أَنْ تَقَحْهُمِ الشُّبُهَاتِ.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam goes on to say, after saying that now his responsibility has become great, and he now by these words that he's going to say in this opening lecture, they are going to apply a responsibility on him. It's not just the words, it's going to be that plan of action, that strategy that he's going to apply in his leadership. And that strategy needs to be executed. That strategy that he's going to speak about means that now he has taken responsibility to execute it in the best way. This is a serious thing. It's not a joke. It's not about speaking things, flowery words and statements and just shouting out slogans and jumping around and becoming happy because of being a leader. No, this is something serious that Imam Ali alayhi salam says. And then after that, he maintains that serious tone. He says, إِلَّا مَنْ صَرَّحَتْ لَهُ الْعِبَرُ عَمَّا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَثُلَاتِ حَجَزَتْهُ التَّقْوَى عَنْ تَقَحْهُمِ الشُّبُهَاتِ. He says that that person who has clearly understood the lessons that come as a result of him contemplating on the examples of what happened to the previous communities, when they did wrong, when they did not fulfill their promises, when they did not execute their duties properly, that is enough for him to stop him from what is wrong. حَجَزَتْهُ التَّقْوَى أَن تَقَحْهُمِ الشُّبُهَاتِ. Such a person